questions that you can answer in your heart. Do you want to be a woman who changes the world? And do you want your life to count, to make a difference? And in what way has your life impacted the world so far? Have you made a difference? Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we just thank you and praise you for this evening, Lord. And I just thank you for each woman that you brought here, Lord. And I pray that you would just really minister to her tonight, that she would just feel your presence. And no matter what's going on in her life, Lord, that you would just meet her here now. We ask that you would fill this room with your holy presence, Lord, and that you would go before every word, Lord. And tonight we're going to look at women who changed the world through sin. And Lord, I'm a sinful woman. And it's only by your grace and your mercy that you even use me in any way. And Lord, I just thank you and praise you for that. And so, Lord, I ask that you just have me set aside myself and all my fleshly desires and everything, Lord, and that I would just be a vessel that you could use to just share your words with these women. And Lord, I pray that you would prepare their hearts for whatever you want to speak to them tonight. And so, Lord, I pray that they would just set aside the cares of the world, whatever was going on today, whether they were at home homeschooling, whether they were running around crazy, whether they were at work, whatever is going on, Lord, I pray that they would just set it aside now. And if they're tired, Lord, just sort of wake them up. And Lord, I do pray that you go before every word. Your word says that you know the words before they're even on our tongue. And so I pray that every word would be from you. We thank you, we praise you, we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as women, we have the ability to impact others in our lives for either good or for bad. In fact, we have the ability to change the world. And for years, I've always wanted to be a woman who would change the world. My great aunt, which was my mom's aunt, for those of you that know my mom, she was a missionary in Africa. You should ask my mom to tell her some of the stories. And she had to go over on the boat, you know, and it took her, you know, months, and she got over, and she had to be in France for 2 years and learn how to speak French before she even got to go to Africa. And when she went, I can't remember when it was, but it was years and years and years ago, because obviously she didn't take a plane. And it was back, like, she was maybe 17 or 18. She went right out of high school. Can you imagine? But anyhow, I would think of her sometimes and how brave she must have been and that God chose her to use her. And I always thought, you know, I want to be a woman who changes the world, you know? And so many times when we think of things like that, we think of women like Corrie ten Boom. And I read her story and I think, you know, Corrie ten Boom, she's my hero. And then we think of women like Mother Teresa, you know, and how she made such a difference in the world. And I would think so many times that it's not possible for me to be a woman that can go and change the world or impact the world in the way that these women did. But you know, each one of us, we do impact the world around us. And we impact the world around us for either good or for bad. And it doesn't matter if we have a ministry to one person or whether we have a ministry to thousands of people, because our life counts. God created each one of us for a specific purpose. Ephesians 2:10 tells us that. And that God has a specific purpose for each one of us. And it doesn't matter if maybe some of you are still at home and you're just thinking, all I have is my kids and I want to be out in the world and I want a career like I used to have, like the women here talk about. Or maybe you are a career woman and you're going, I just want to be home with my kids. You know, whatever it is, it always seems like the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. But I heard my pastor a couple Sundays ago, he said, you know, he goes, the grass is greener where you water it. And I thought, isn't that so true? You know, we always think the grass is greener on the other side of the fence because that's where our romantic thoughts are, right? And so we're watering those thoughts and we think the grass is greener. But, you know, if you really got over there, it's just filled with weeds, because if you've ever looked up the definition of romance in the Bible, I'm sorry, not the Bible, the dictionary. But if you ever look that up in the dictionary, do you know what it like translates to? And this is not in my notes, so I don't have this. But it translates to something like a fairy tale. you know, and it's not real. And I remember when I did write Go in Peace, I did look up romance to see if I could find another word instead of romantic, you know, since it's just a fairy tale. I couldn't say that our love relationship with Jesus Christ is a romance because it's a fairy tale, right? So I'm like, okay, I can't use that word anymore. I need to change my word. And so I looked up at thesauruses to see if I could find another word that would work. And you know what? It was so funny because the words in the thesauruses were amazing. It was just all like, it's all lies. It's not real. I mean, check it out. Look it up. But in our minds, we have all these wonderful romantic thoughts that, you know, we're going to grow up. We're going to get married. We're going to have a house with a white picket fence. We're going to have children. And they're just going to be the perfect little children. And we're going to be happy. And our husband's going to be the most handsome and the nicest husband. And he's going to be so romantic. And see, it's a fairy tale. You know, because then life sets in, you know, and you find out that your knight in shining armor got a little rusty. And, you know, pretty soon you're just going, oh, my goodness, what happened? And pretty soon we can become very discontent with the life around us. And we start just becoming these women that we saw in this week's study. And, you know, we can really change the world around us for good or for bad. And when we become so discontent, you know, we change the world around us for bad. Because when we're discontent, when we're disobedient, when we do these things, then we really are just sinful women. And so anyhow, when I was preparing this study, you know, whenever I go to teach someplace and it's like a woman's luncheon or a retreat, then it's usually a theme. Like Joy can't remember the theme for your retreat, but she has a theme. And see, you guys are going to find it out in God's perfect timing, and it's the perfect theme, and it's what all of you guys need. And I bet you she even knows the verse that goes along if she finds her notes. No, she's like me. I just like loved it because so many times I get up here and I'm like, in fact, I think it was your retreat one time that I just came back from Bulgaria, and it seemed like I couldn't remember all my English words, and I kept saying, what's that word I want to say? And you guys know Janice Katori, and she would be up there, and she would say the word I wanted, and I'm like, oh, my Aaron, you know? And so I just love Joy, because it's like, you know, we try to get up here, and we try to be so good, and then the Lord just reminds us that, nope, you're just human, and you just fail. But anyhow, every retreat, every seminar, things like that, there's usually a theme, and there's usually a theme verse. Well, I thought, you know, for women who change the world, we need a woman in the Bible, not just a verse, not just whatever, but we need a woman in the Bible who can be our theme woman, our mascot, so to say. And so I was praying, Lord, who is this woman who covers all three aspects? You know, we can look in the Bible and there are many, many sinful women in the Bible. Praise the Lord, you know, because it just shows us that we're like really normal. And so there's a lot of women that we can relate to, you know. And so I'm like, okay, there's so many sinful women, but also, who also is a woman that changed the world through grace? And also went on to change the world through obedience. So who could be that woman that fit all three, you know? And so I thought, well, what about Mary Magdalene? You know, she could be one, right? Because, you know, she changed the world through sin, she changed the world through grace, and she changed the world through obedience. And what about Rahab, you know, and women like that? And then I thought, no, it should be somebody who doesn't have a name, so that we could relate more closely to her. Because it's not Mary Magdalene that we're talking about. It's not Rahab that we're talking about. But it's just an unknown woman like us. And so we're going to look in Luke chapter 7. And we're going to start in verse 36. And this woman is known simply as the sinful woman. And so this is a story we're going to look at over the next three lessons. Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, so he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman and he said to Simon, Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much, but he who has been forgiven loves little. Then Jesus said to her, Your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say among themselves, Who is this who even forgives sin? Jesus said to the woman, Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. And this woman, she's a perfect woman to look at tonight because she is simply known as the sinful woman. And so she is a woman who changed the world around her through sin. Now, it's interesting, when you study her, if you looked up this story in a commentary or you listened to a Bible teacher, many times you will find that everybody thought she was a prostitute. But the Bible doesn't say what her sin is. You know, maybe she was a prostitute because Simon knew who she was. But you know, I think God left her sin a mystery. The reason? Because each one of us is a sinful woman. And so he didn't point out what her sin is so that we could more relate to her more. See, I lose my words. We could relate to her more greatly. That doesn't sound really good. But we could relate to her more deeply and more with more understanding. And so I believe that God left her sin a mystery. And if you think about it, maybe she was a prostitute because Simon did know who she was. Or was she simply just a sinful woman that Simon just looked at and could see her sin in her life? I mean, if you think about it, don't we watch everyone around us? And everyone's sin seems so much larger than ours. Aren't we just like Simon, where we judge the other person? Oh, that person, they are always complaining. Oh, that person, they drink way too much. Oh, that person, they're a hypocrite. Oh, that person is just so filled with bitterness, they're never forgive anybody anything. And we go on and we judge people, sometimes for even very small things. And God's word says that before we can see clearly to remove the speck in our brother's eye, we need to remove the log in our own eye. And that is so important. I know for me that when I wanted to start counseling women, the Lord called me to my ministry like back in 90. He gave me the vision and I went to my pastor and I said, I want to counsel women. And he said, great, you need to take this class. And it's called BCF and it's all about self-confrontation. Because before you can counsel, you need to honestly look at yourself. You need to be willing to look. And the very first verse we needed to memorize was that verse of removing the log in our own eye. I mean, if you think about it, it's like we have these two big logs sticking out. We're just going to go around and hit everybody. You know, and don't we do that when we judge them? Don't we? And yet their sin appears so much smaller that it's just a speck. And that's exactly how Simon is. He's sitting here, if Jesus was a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she's a sinner. But you see, God is so good. I just love it because God knows everything. He even knows the thoughts of our hearts. And Jesus says to him, Simon, it's like, Simon, you're busted, you know? And it's just so wonderful because God in his love will just show us things in our life that we need to change. But if you think about the sinful woman, I wonder, you know, how many lives did her life impact? You know, if she was a prostitute, how many lives did that impact? You know, was Simon personally impacted by her sin? Is that why he's so bitter towards her? Perhaps he was. Perhaps her sin affected him or a loved one or something like that. Or perhaps his sin is just simply that her sin appeared bigger than his, whatever it was. And so I think she's a perfect person for tonight, because each one of us is a sinner. God's word says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God," in Romans 3:23. Each one of us, myself included, is a sinful woman, and we fall short of the glory of God. Psalms 51:5 says, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." And so each one of us are sinful from the time we were born. If you think about it, you don't have to teach your child to lie. I mean, you don't. You have to teach them to tell the truth. You know, they're two or three, and you're the only one at home with them, you know, and all of a sudden the cookies are gone. And you say, "Who ate the cookies?" "I didn't eat the cookies." You know? And you're like, "Well, who ate the cookies?" "I don't know. I didn't eat the cookies." You know? And so where did they learn that? It's just in them. They were sinful from the time that they were conceived. Even though we love them and they're our little angels, we have to teach them right from wrong. And 1 John 1:10 says, "If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our life." And so if we're like Simon, sitting there thinking, "Well, the sinful woman story doesn't apply to me. You know, I've got it all together now. You know, I'm a new creature in Christ," which is true. But if we're still sitting there thinking the sinful woman doesn't apply to me or this message this week, then perhaps we need to look a little bit more closely at this verse where it says, "If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in us." Because we're all going to struggle with sin on a daily basis. Maybe it's just in our attitudes. Maybe it's not huge anymore, but maybe it's in our sinful attitudes. And so we're going to be looking at also next week how she changed the world through grace. And so if tonight's message touches a little bit closely to home and you feel a little bit convicted, I want to encourage you to come back next week, because we're going to learn about grace. And then the week after that, or 2 weeks after that, because you have a special night one night, we're going to look at women who changed the world through obedience and how God used this woman through her obedience to change the world. And so this week, for those of you that did the Bible study, you looked at four women of the Bible whose lives changed the world around them through sin. First, you took a quick look at Eve, who is perhaps the most famous woman in the whole world. And because of her sin, it changed the course of history. And her sin even today is affecting us, each one personally, and our families. And her sin was mostly the sin of being disobedient to God. And I know in my life, there has been times that I have been disobedient to God. There was a time in my life where for 6 months, I was arguing with the Lord. He wanted me to go to Bulgaria again. For those of you that know me, you know I've been a missionary in Bulgaria. I started out in 93 going on short-term trips, and then we lived there for a total of 3.5 years. But there was one time, I think it was my third trip, the Lord wanted me to go on. I said, "No. I don't want to go to Bulgaria. I didn't like what I felt in Bulgaria. I could feel the oppression of the enemy there, and I didn't like that feeling. It scared me. And I'm like, "I don't want to go." And so for 6 months, I was so depressed because I was out of the will of God. And during that time, I am sure that my depression affected those around me. I'm sure it affected my children. I'm sure it affected my husband. Because we can't walk through life depressed and not affect those around us. But the moment that I said, "Lord, please forgive me, I will go anywhere you want me to go," he restored the peace and joy in my heart at that moment. And I hadn't even realized, I didn't connect the depression with the disobedient until I got right with the Lord and I got that joy restored. And at that moment, it was just amazing. And so we can, through our sin, affect our families. And then you looked at Job's wife, who was discontent with the plans that God had for her and her husband. And in Job 2:9, it says, she said to her husband, "Are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die." And so here she is. She's trying to poison her husband's thinking. He's in the middle of the most amazing trial you could ever imagine. Read the book of Job chapter 1 and 2 if you didn't do the study. And it's amazing what Job was going through. Yet he was honoring God through it the whole time. And she says, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" And you know, our attitudes can so affect people around us. And I wonder how many people were watching her. You know, it says in the Bible that Job was a very prominent man. And so you know that the people around them were watching them. They were watching how Job was reacting to this trial, but they were also, you know, looking at her. And I wonder how many people she caused to stumble in their attitudes, you know? And then you looked at Delilah, who changed the world through sin, her sin of nagging. And it says that she just nagged and nagged Samson until he told her the secret of his strength. And in Judges 16:16, it says, with such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was tired to death. You know? And can't we be nagging? You know, when things aren't going quite the way that we want them to go, or maybe our husband isn't doing things the way that we want him to do it, or maybe he's not going to let us do something that we'd really like to do, you know, and we're not going to get into submission tonight. That would be a whole nother story. But we sure can become naggers. And maybe we don't nag, 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 we think, but we sure can drop little hints of things, you know. Somebody told me a story after the study this morning, and it was so cute because she was saying, you know, I would just go to my husband and say, I can't find anything, I can't find it, for months, until finally he gave in and said, okay, just go get that, you know. And so we can just, like, you know, nag them in ways that are just so, we just become like that dripping faucet. In your study, you read the verse where it says that in Proverbs 19:13, a foolish son is his father's ruin, and a quarrelsome wife is like a constant dripping. Drip, 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 drip. And one of my daughters, she's really good at nagging. I'll tell her, no, you can't go. And she'll go, oh, come on, Mom. I'll say, no, you can't go. Come on, come on. And you're just like, you're ready to just say yes. And so I always remind her, I said, you know, you need to learn right now. Because if you don't learn now to stop your tongue, then you're going to keep dripping and dripping and dripping right on your husband, and you're just going to drive him crazy, and it's going to affect your marriage, you know? And that's what we do, and I share this verse with her a lot in love, you know, and I pray that she'll mature enough that by the time she gets married, she won't be nagging her husband to death. But, you know, we do. We just nag, nag, nag. And then what about Jezebel? We looked at Jezebel and her sin of manipulation and how the destruction that her sin caused just because she wanted to manipulate the situation around her. And we as women, we can manipulate so good. And we also are very strong controllers in our household. We just want to control everything and everybody and our families. And it's important that we don't do that. But we can affect the world through our sin. And we're going to come back to that sin in a moment. And then we looked at a modern day woman. And on day 5, for those of you that did the study, I asked you if you could think of a modern day woman who changed the world through sin. And I wondered if any of you came up with Norma McCorvey. Everyone's going, who's Norma McCorvey? Well, most people know her as Jane Roe. And she's the woman in Roe versus Wade in 1993 when the Supreme Court of the United States made abortion legal. It was her who had desired to have an abortion. And so the pro-choice activists grabbed her as their mascot, sorta, and used her story and brought it all the way through the Supreme Court so that abortion is legal in our country. And I wonder how many millions of people her sin affected. One woman. How many lives were touched because of her sin? Perhaps you know a family member who's gone through that, or a loved one, or a dear friend, or yourself. How many lives have been impacted because of one woman's sin? Mine was. And you know, when I was a teenager, I believed all the lies. I was a very sinful teenager, and I got pregnant at 16. And it was in the late 70s, just after this was legalized, and right down the street in Huntington Beach. I went to Huntington High, and right down the street from Huntington High was a free clinic. And I went down there, and they said, you know what? So praise the Lord that in Huntington Beach, what Joy shared, we now have a crisis pregnancy center and a home for unwed mothers. You know, praise the Lord. But back then, the free clinic was down the street. I don't know if it's still there. You could get a free pregnancy test, and they said, you know what? Your sin is safe with us. You know, they didn't say it that way, of course. They said, oh, your secret's safe with us, and it's just a fetal tissue mass, a product of conception. It's not a baby, and you just need to have an abortion and nothing, you know, your life will be fine. They didn't tell me that it would almost destroy my life. And I'm not going to give you my testimony. A lot of you have heard it, and if you haven't and you want to, there's a book titled Go in Peace, and I'll bring some back next week, and you can get one of those books. But anyhow, what I do want to share with you is how our sin affects other people. You see, I wonder how my sin, yes, God has healed my heart, he's forgiven me, he's set me free from all the consequences of my sin, and that's all listed in the book too, how our sin has consequences to it. He set me free from that. But has the father of those two babies been set free? I don't know. I don't even know where they are. But is their life still impacted by my sin? And is that affecting their families because of my sin? You know, my sin affected my family. Once I got married, it affected my relationship with my husband. It affected how I treated my kids. Outbursts of anger. They didn't tell me that at Planned Parenthood. They didn't tell me that years later I would struggle with outbursts of anger, depression, anxiety, drugs and alcohol, overprotectiveness. They didn't tell me any of that. And yet years later it was affecting my family because I was a sinful woman and I was changing the world through sin. But you know, God is a good God and he loves us. And if you or somebody you love is struggling with issues from having had an abortion or from living in a sinful lifestyle, God loves you. God loves them. God forgives them. God sets them free. He washes you clean. And he changes you into a woman who can change the world through God's grace. If you read Go in Peace, the first chapter is what a shame, and it's my testimony of abortion. But the second chapter is for his glory. When God took the past and now used it for his glory, and he can do it in anyone's life. But we can change the world through sin and affect many people we love around us. And I'm sad to say that I even encouraged others to choose abortion. They didn't tell me that that would be part of it too. You see, what happens is you just got to convince one other person to have an abortion, because if you did, then what you did is okay. And you know, there's a verse that talks about in Luke 6:39, can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? And when we're living in a sinful lifestyle, when we haven't come to Jesus, when we haven't had him heal our life, we can lead other people down to the same pit. What about somebody struggling with alcohol? Come on, just one drink. Have one drink with me. And can't we lead other people into the same sin that we're in? Or what about somebody who's sexually active outside of marriage, you know, and somebody else is trying to walk in purity? Oh, it's okay if you really love me. And we can bring people down in the pit with us because of our sinful lifestyle. And 2 Corinthians 10:32 says, do not cause anyone to stumble. But you know, so many times when we think of the issue of sin, we think of big sins, prostitution, abortion, adultery. And those are big sins. And so I'm not really a sinner because I don't have any of those big sins in my life, or God has set me free and I know I'm forgiven. And so I don't have those big sins anymore because God's word does say I'm a new creature in Christ. And we forget to look at the little sins that we have in our life. And you know, to God, it says in His Word, when you study it, you know, sin is sin to Him. He doesn't have sin on a scale of 1 to 10 or 1 to 50 or 1 to 100. He has sin is sin, no matter what it is. Even if it's the sin of nagging, the sin of lying, the sin of manipulating, the sin of whatever, it's equal to Him. And so even with little sins, we can change the world around us. And I told you we'd come back to the story of manipulation, or the sin of manipulation, and how we as women can manipulate events and affect people that we might not even know. And I want to share a story with you how a sinful woman affected me one day, and I don't even know who she is. I never even met her. But because of her sin, it affected me, which caused a ripple effect, and I became a sinful woman around everybody. Last time I was here, I was sharing with you the story of that the Lord brought us home from Bulgaria at the end of December, and my mother-in-law was really sick, and my brother-in-law had pancreatic cancer, and that we were going through a real hard time. And praise the Lord, my mother-in-law got saved, and my brother-in-law got saved, and my sister-in-law got saved, and God's just doing an awesome work. But anyhow, through it all, it was really hard. My mother-in-law's in one hospital, my brother-in-law's in another hospital. Every day you're just going back and forth, and you know how tiring that is, you know? You just get like so emotional, physically drained. It just wipes you out. And then we decided, we knew my mother-in-law wasn't going to live very much longer, and so we decided to bring her home for hospice care. And my sister-in-law is a nurse, and normally she would be the one taking care of her mom, but she was with her husband in the hospital with pancreatic cancer, you know? And so I took care of my mother-in-law for those 2 days. And so I had been up like 20 hours, 22 hours, you know, just, oh, it was so awesome. The Holy Spirit just came in. You know, if you ever pray about hospice care and you think, I can't do it, I'm not a nurse, I don't know how to do it, just rely on God. It's awesome. It was one of the neatest times in my life. And so anyhow, we brought my mother-in-law home, but I was physically dead and emotionally dead and everything except on a spiritual high, because when she passed away, I knew she went to heaven. She accepted the Lord just a few days before. So I'm on the spiritual high, but emotionally and physically and everything else down. And I hate to shop. You know, some women love to shop, but I hate to shop. And shopping gets me physically exhausted. I'm sorry. I know what I want in my mind. I want to go in the mall. I want to buy it, and I want to get out, and I want to go home, you know? And so anyhow, here we are. We're back from Bulgaria. We're missionaries. I don't have anything I can wear to a funeral. Neither is my husband. I mean, what are we going to do? So I needed to go to the mall. So it was the day after she passed away, and we all went shopping. My mom, my nieces, everybody, my daughters, we're all looking for clothes, you know? What are we going to wear to the funeral? And I was having a real hard time. I didn't want to wear black. I don't really like black. And I'm thinking, you know, I have no money, so why am I going to buy a black dress that I'm never going to wear again? And if we move back to Bulgaria, I can't take it there. One time I wore a black bow, and everybody was asking me who died, you know? And so I'm like, I'm never going to be able to wear a black dress there. And so I was praying, is it okay for me to wear dark brown, you know? Could I wear dark brown? Is that okay? It's California. I probably could. But, you know, you just don't know, because we were also going to share the gospel, and you don't want somebody up there, you know, sitting there, and you're sharing the gospel, and they're going, she's not in black. And they're not even listening to the gospel, you know, because they're going, they're judging me. She's not in black, you know? So anyhow, I'm just like praying, can I wear brown? So we shopped and shopped. I'm just like so tired. And so finally I found a skirt that I sort of like. So I thought, okay, I'll put it on hold, and I'll put these two black skirts on, and we're finished going shopping, and later tonight I'll bring my husband back and ask him what he thinks. And so all day long, you know, I'm thinking about it, and I finally decided I'm going to get that brown skirt. You know, I like the brown skirt. It was really cheap. It was like on sale. It was the last one left in the store. And I'm like, this is just great. I'm going to go get the brown skirt. That's it. I'll show it to my husband. If he says yes, that's it. I'm just going to get the brown skirt. And so we get there. It's like an hour before the mall closes. I'm just tired. I'm on a mission. I'm going to walk in, buy the skirt, you know, and I have all these romantic thoughts, you know. Well, anyhow, I get there, and I even remember, you know, I said, I have three skirts on hold, and the girl, she goes to hand it to me, and actually, as I had them, I remember the skirts were, like, flowing on the hanger as I'm getting ready to walk off to the dressing room, you know, so I could try it on and show my husband. And as it flowed, the brown skirt came out from behind the black skirts, and it wasn't my skirt. It wasn't. It was a skirt I never saw before. It was a skirt I definitely would not wear to a funeral. And it was not my brown skirt. And I'm just like, I look at the lady and I go, this is not my skirt. I had a different skirt on hold. And she's going, no, that's your skirt. No, I'm sorry. is not my skirt. I've never seen this skirt before. I need it for a funeral, and this is not for a funeral. And I know this is not my skirt. I know what skirt I had. And she's going, well, let's go look. And I go, there's no more skirts in the store. That was the only one. You know, and I just start getting, you know, this anger, and I'm trying to be nice, and he's like, be nice, you know, and so anyhow, I'm just like, how could somebody do that? Why would they do that? Do they understand what I've gone through? And da, 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 da. And so anyhow, I'm like getting really upset, and the lady didn't even come back to tell me that your skirt's not in the store, because I wondered if she sort of knew that she gave away my skirt, you know, or if my attitude was so bad, she just wanted to stay away from me. I'm not sure which one it was. I hope it was the second. No, not the second. No, which one did I say first? Anyhow, yeah, I hope it was the first one that, you know, she just knew that the skirt was gone. But anyhow, as we're walking through the mall, I'm just like telling my husband, oh, this is just terrible. And at that point, he's ready to buy me any skirt in the whole mall. You know what I mean? And he did. I wore it tonight for you, and it was very expensive. I would have never paid that much for a skirt. So then I wondered, did I make him stumble? You know, and we bought something we really couldn't even afford just because I was nag, 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 nag. And then we got to Robinson's May, and we still need to find him clothes. And they were having this huge sale, and so I pulled out some shirts, you know. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh, that won't work for him. I'm just in this mood. And I go to put it back, and I can't get it back in the box the way it was. And I'm just like, ugh. And I look over, and it's like, busted. The sales lady is watching me. And I'm just like, and it was like the Lord just going, Sheree, what are you doing? And I walked up to her, and I said, I am so sorry. Please forgive me, you know, that I just left it there for you to clean up because I'm in a bad mood. And please forgive me. But I realized, and I was getting ready for this study, even though it was like the end of January, because that's when Joy asked me, and I was praying about the theme and everything, and I'm just like, okay, Lord, very funny. You had me go through all of this so that I could have a story that is just so simple and modern day and something that we don't even think about, that our sin can affect others. You know, why did that woman take my skirt? Was it covetousness? Did she happen to see me try it on? You know, I had the right to buy that skirt for 24 hours. You know, it was my right. But she wanted it. And so she manipulated the situation to take a skirt. And that is something so petty. I mean, it's just a skirt. Who cares? But see how our sin, something so simple, can have a ripple effect. Her sin affected me, which then caused me to sin, which affected my husband, which caused him to sin because he paid way too much that he should have for my skirt, you know? And plus, I'm ready to cause the other sale. Who knows about the first one? I probably got put her in a really good mood, too. But the second sales lady at the other store, you know, is she sitting there thinking, oh, these customers, I just got ready to close, you know? And am I causing her to sin? And then maybe she goes home and yells at her husband or her kids. And so can simple little things that we think are not a big deal change the world around us through sin? And so I want to encourage you to be honest before God, to allow him to search your heart every day and to show you if there's sin there. If there's sin there, you can't be used by him. You know, one time I was in a really bad mood. My husband's driving me to church. It was time for me to counsel somebody. And I'm like, geez, I'm just in like a really bad mood. And he's like, yeah, you're not going to be used by God today. And I'm like, I mean, he knew. He knew. I always say that I have to get my heart right before God before I can counsel so I can hear from the Lord. So I'm like, okay, stop the car. We need to pray. You know, he hit it on the head. And so I want to encourage you really quickly, three steps to do, so that instead of being a woman who's changing the world through sin, you can be a woman who changes the world for good through God's grace and God's obedience. First, recognize your sin. Remember 1 John 1:10, if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. So recognize sin, be honest with yourself, be honest before God. 2, get it right with God. The moment he shows it to you, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Give it to him. And then 3, change your ways. That's what repentance means, to change your ways. If you are going this way, you need to do a U-turn and come back. When the Lord just like busted me, it was like I needed to change my way immediately. I went up to her and said, please forgive me. I've had a terrible day. That's not an excuse. Don't we want to give excuses then? It's not an excuse. Please forgive me. What I did was wrong, and I don't want to cause you to have a terrible night. And so change the way. And as encouragement, let's close with Philippians 3, 13 through 14, where Paul wrote, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. The moment that you repent, just change your ways and press on towards the goal. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we just thank you and praise you and give you the glory for everything that you do in and through our life. And Lord, I just ask that you will be with these women. And if you've put something on their heart, ways that they have fallen short, Lord, and that you've showed to them maybe areas in their life that are sin, I pray, Lord, that they would get it right with you tonight, Lord, and that they would even change their ways if something needs to be changed. Lord, be with their group time now. Let each other encourage one another with the words that will be shared, Lord, and let it all go forth for your glory. We thank you and praise you, and we do give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.